No doubt. Four was a four-star coming out of high school. So Joe Milton, the latest addition to the Tennessee Vols. We got Ben McKee on now. Ben, before we get into Joe Milton or baseball or Fulkerson or any of the numerous things we got to talk about, congrats on the new gig, man, moving over to VolQuest.
Man, I appreciate that. I really do. And thanks for having me on. Once again, thankful to have this opportunity with Austin Price and Brent Hubbs. They're great people and been fun to get to work with in the last 2 weeks.
At Ben McKee 14 is where you can find him on Twitter, so you can check him out there. We were talking about this, Joe Milton, before you came on, and man, they're going to have to bring another desk or two in a quarterback room. It's getting kind of crowded in there.
It is, but it also tells you what the new coaching staff thinks of the current crop of quarterbacks in the room. Yeah. He's a guy that they hope that can come in and compete for the starting job and win the starting job. And I think, again, if they felt comfortable with what they have on the roster, then they would address this roster spot at a different position, because there are so many needs on this football team right now. And I imagine after spring practice, you'll see other transfers commit to Tennessee at various positions. And you would think that it would be positions other than the quarterback, because they do have four guys. But then you kind of start to look at each quarterback in the room, and you know, Caden Salter, the true freshman, a guy who enrolled early, was thought to be able to compete for the starting job even as a true freshman, but he goes out and gets involved in a dorm room incident and is suspended for the entirety of spring. And I think you can cross him off the list of playing as a true freshman just because he's going to be behind the eight ball so much. You look at Harrison Bailey, and a former five-star by one recruiting service, and he's not playing to the level of a five-star, and he just doesn't really stand out in practice. And Brian Maurer, he probably has the most potential out of anybody in that room, but you can't trust him on and off the field. So he'll make a nice touchdown throw, but then he'll come back and he'll underthrow the deep throw and get picked off. So you can't really trust Brian Maurer. And Hendon Hooker, he's if Tennessee played a game today, he would probably be the starting quarterback, but he's a guy that just doesn't flash a ton, just kind of steady Eddie, and you know, he can get the job done, but again, he's just not a guy that really flashes. So the quarterback room is getting busy, but I think it's a result of what this new coaching staff thinks of the quarterback room as it is.
Yeah, Ben McKee joins us now from VolQuest. And, of course, you know him from the Swain event with our man Jason Swain right here on Blaine and Mickey joining us now.
Well, Ben, let's stick with football. And I know they had a scrimmage there this Saturday. I know you probably weren't able to attend, but what are you hearing, I guess, are the results on offense and defense and how things played out and who had a good day?
Yeah, it sounded like the offense got the better of the defense to start the scrimmage. And kind of as the scrimmage wore on, the defense was able to pick it up and make some plays. But you had a couple of guys make some touchdown catches. Anderson Kobe had a nice one-handed catch in the back of the end zone on a throw from Harrison Bailey. You had Jacob Warren catch a touchdown from Hendon Hooker. So you had a couple of plays there on offense, and as I mentioned, the offense was getting the better of the defense to start the scrimmage, and that's not too much of a surprise. Tennessee is thin on defense, especially at linebacker, inside linebacker, and even at the open practice last Saturday, we saw the defense struggle to stop the run, and it makes sense when you kind of look at the situation there with the numbers, and then you flip over to the offensive side of the ball and you see the talent and the experience returning along the offensive line. And Tennessee's running backs has probably been the most impressive unit on the team this spring, just led by Jabari Small. And he's a guy that probably the MVP of the offense through spring practice, just made a ton of plays and has been very impressive. Jalen Wright, a true freshman, he has flashed at times, and the coaches have raved about him as well. Deep Beckwith, he's looking good. Tyon Evans hasn't been able to practice as much, the JUCO transfer, but when he's been in, he's been impressive. So It makes sense as to why the offense has been able to get the better of the defense, but that continued to be the case on Saturday. And then Josh Heupel did talk that he did think the defense got better as the scrimmage wore on, that they played with great energy and did pick it up and make some plays towards the end.
Well, you talked about it a little bit when we were talking about Milton, the quarterback, is going to make the quarterback room a little crowded, and maybe he thinks some defections, or maybe they're just not quite as good as he thought they would be. What do you think is going to happen with the team as far as the portal and transfers and position groups that you think they're going to attack through the portal?
You pick a random position, and I'm sure that's a position that Tennessee would like to add a
say every position. Okay. Offensive line?
I think they're good along the offensive line.
See,
I think they'll look. but I imagine if they could add a left tackle, they'd love to go out and get a left tackle. But there are more pressing needs, to your point, and that's the defensive line. That's on the edge at pass rusher. Inside linebacker is the one that everybody is circling and kind of looking at. I don't think inside linebacker is as in bad of a spot as it may appear right now, because you do have Roman Harrison, Jeremy Banks. Those are two guys that are at the inside linebacker position but haven't been able to practice this spring because of injuries. And if it were the fall, they would be practicing. They would be playing. They're just obviously being cautious in the spring. No need to push those guys. Then you also have Aaron Willis, who is in the same boat as Caden Salter, a very talented early enrollee, but was involved in the dorm room incident and was suspended for what is going to end up being the entirety of spring practice. But they would still like to go out and add a veteran at that spot. So I think you look at inside linebacker. I think you potentially look at another corner. Just really any spot on the defense, that it just needs all the help that it can get. As we saw after Jeremy Pruitt was fired and the onslaught of transfers that took place, that defense is pretty thin right now.
Well, with Ben McKee.
Ben, you mentioned the linebacker core. Where does Morvan Joseph fit into all this? I want him to play more just because I love his name, Morvan. So there was a guy named Mervin Fernandez who played NFL football in the 80s. They called him Swervin' Mervin. So in my mind, I always call him Swervin' Morvan. But does he fit in somewhere with the linebacker room, maybe depth-wise, because he has to?
He does. He absolutely does. And he's been working at inside linebacker. And at the open practice, he actually caught my attention, was flying around the field and laid a good pop on one of the running backs on the sidelines. So he's in there. He's working. I think he's a guy that can play, and to your point about wanting him to play, he's got a little swagger to him as well. Has the cross earring, rocks the number 19. Don't see many linebackers wearing number 19. The only one I can think of is Reggie Ragland at Alabama. So he's been in there, he's been in the mix, and at the open practice he flashed at times making plays, and I think he's a guy that can definitely play this season and will be in the rotation.
I think if he's swaggy, Swervin' Morvan is definitely going to catch on. I feel good about that. Now, another name that I keep reading is the JUCO guy, Byron Young, as a guy who might be able to help on defense.
Absolutely. I mentioned Jabari Small as the MVP of the offense. I would pick Byron Young as the MVP of the defense. Everybody you talk to talks about Byron Young, whether it be Rodney Garner, his position coach, whether it be Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, Josh Heupel, has spoken about him. And then even offensive linemen like Cade Mays and Cooper Mays, Jerome Carvin, when they met with the media last week, they pointed out Byron Young as somebody who's been difficult to defend in practice. He's just a guy with a ton of speed off the edge. And Mike Eckler as well, the outside linebacker coach, him and Eckler and Rodney Garner have been kind of tag teaming the pass rusher. So both of them spoke glowingly of Byron Young's work ethic and his speed off of the edge. And that's a huge development for Tennessee because Tennessee desperately needs a pass rush. DeAndre Johnson and Kevon Bennett, the starting outside backers, edge rushers from last year's team, are no longer here. DeAndre Johnson is at Miami. Kevon Bennett was kicked off the team for his arrest there late in the season. So those are two open spots right now, and Tennessee needs somebody to step up and grab the bull by the horns and assert themselves. And it appears that Byron Young has done that, and it's just a huge development for Tennessee because, as you all know, you're not going to win in the SEC if you don't have a pass rush.
Yeah, no doubt. Ben McKee, he can rush the passer. He can do it for VolQuest. Swain and Ben, he joins us now.
Well, Ben, we have to talk to you about old Folky is coming back, man. What were your thoughts? Were you surprised? And, man, is he going to still be in the starting rotation?
Yeah.
That's a great question. I was not surprised. I think it was kind of the worst kept secret in East Tennessee over the last couple of weeks. John Fulkerson, not necessarily a NBA prospect that you immediately think of when you think of the NBA draft. So if you're John Fulkerson, do you want to try and catch on to a G League team and hopefully earn a chance to play in the NBA? Do you want to try and go play professionally overseas? Or as a kid that grew up in East Tennessee loving the Vols, do you want to take advantage of a free year of eligibility and come back with, you know, a heck of a roster that is just full of talent, even more so than last season? So I think it was a pretty easy decision for John Fulkerson, just kind of knowing his backstory and how much he appreciates Tennessee. And as he talked about last week, kind of how his season ended with the two elbows from Omar Payne in the SEC tournament, he did not want to end his career that way. So I was not surprised that he would return. To me, it's a big development for Tennessee because I think Tennessee is much more likely to receive the John Fulkerson that played at an all-SEC level in 2019, the year prior to the COVID year. I would be surprised if you got this past year's John Fulkerson. Once again, the COVID year, John Fulkerson, he did have to deal with COVID at one point. He had to deal with getting his wisdom teeth taken out. He dealt with a wrist injury, a back injury, and that was all before he dealt with the incident in the SEC tournament with Omar Payne. So I think it's a big development for Tennessee, and I do think he'll start just because Rick Barnes loves relying on his experience. He loves relying on his seniors, and John Fulkerson is one heck of a senior at this point. I think he actually played back in the day with Ernie and Bernie as well. So I think Rick Barnes will rely on that experience and rely on that leadership. And I think he'll still be in the starting lineup, and they'll try to piece together one of the two big five-star post players, piece those two together in the starting rotation.
Well, Ben, we're still talking about basketball here, and Barnes now signing the number two class right now. The expectations are going to skyrocket, man. I guess talk about some of these guys in this class and how do you think they're going to come together sooner than later?
Yes, expectations were skyrocketing last year, and I can't even imagine what they'll reach this year because this year's class is better than last year's class. And part of that is because there are more people coming in, but this is a completely different Tennessee basketball roster. And that's a good thing. This Tennessee basketball roster needed to be overhauled. It needed to somewhat be built back up from the bottom. He had a nice core with Josiah Jordan James and Santiago Viscovi, John Fulkerson, Victor Bailey Jr., those guys coming back. But you needed to add a legitimate point guard, and they did so with Kennedy Chandler, the five-star point guard from Memphis, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer. They were awesome as freshmen at Tennessee. They'll play in the NBA for a long time, but I believe that Kennedy Chandler is a tad more polished coming in to Tennessee and a little more prepared to play from day one. So he's going to be the engine of the team, in my opinion, from that point guard spot. And then you also add a scorer, a shooter, kind of next to him to go along with Santiago Viscovi and Josiah Jordan James and Victor Bailey Jr. And Justin Powell, the transfer from Auburn, who had a terrific 10-game stretch there on the Plains before he suffered a head injury. And if you look at the ESPN mock draft for 2022, ESPN actually has Justin Powell going a pick behind Kennedy Chandler. So Justin Powell, very talented in his own right, can shoot, can score, can get to the basket, can handle the ball. So He'll flank Kennedy Chandler, and that'll be huge to have somebody that can shoot from the outside. And the biggest area of need was the post, as we knew. And John Fulkerson coming back is a huge part of that. But adding Brandon Huntley Hatfield is a ginormous addition, just a very talented, athletic, big who can play the four. Probably not your back to the basket type of post player, but a guy that can handle the ball, can score in a myriad of different ways, and just very athletic. And he'll make a huge difference for Tennessee. And you add Jonas Adu, a borderline five-star, a top 100 player in the country. He was going to Marquette, but when Marquette fired Steve Wojciechowski and hired Shaka Smart, he decided to back off his commitment. And Rick Barnes goes out and hires Marquette assistant coach Justin Gainey to add to his staff. So that helped Tennessee land Jonas Adu. He's a guy that's going to need to get in the weight room over the summer if he's going to contribute early, but he has the tools to really be a factor in the post. So this roster, thanks to this recruiting class, thanks to the transfer portal, has really come together.
Ben McKee, our guest. We only got 30 seconds or so left, but I know Vol fans didn't like the ultimate result of the series against Vanderbilt, but they had the whole eyes of the college baseball world and really a lot of college athletics on Knoxville this weekend. It was a rowdy crowd. They drank beer out of mullets. Evan Russell had a weekend that he'll never forget. Still a pretty exciting dang weekend in Knoxville.
Oh, it was amazing. It was up there with any sporting event I've ever been to, particularly when Evan Russell hit that grand slam in the bottom of the eighth inning to give Tennessee the lead. It was just tremendous. And even though Tennessee lost the series, I walk away thinking about Evan Russell. He's the key storyline, and Tennessee showed that it can play with anybody in the country and should set up for a fun postseason run for the Vols and Tony Vitello.
Yeah, no doubt. That was my thing was, look, if you're Tennessee, hey, roll into the postseason now. You know, just roll into the postseason, see what happens from there. Ben, great stuff as always, man. We love catching up with you at Ben McKee 14. Of course, the Swain event and now VolQuest 2. Thank you, brother.
Always appreciate y'all having me on.